This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. In a few days, Major League Soccer is expected to announce a new Atlanta franchise to begin play in the new Atlanta Falcons Stadium in 2017. But what are the chances a team would make it here? Atlanta has had pro soccer before, in fact, a pro soccer championship back in the 70s. And what are the challenges a new team would face? Sports writer Stephen Goff blogs about the soccer world for The Washington Post. Stephen Goff, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks. Glad to join you.
In our contacts with MLS, they have simply said, look, we expect to have something. We're just going to dot the I's and cross the T's. Based on what you hear from your sources, is it pretty much a done deal that MLS is coming here?
Yeah, I think so. They're planning this announcement. They wouldn't plan this announcement if everything was not complete. And the Atlanta owner, Arthur Blank, has talked about it publicly. So no reason to believe that this deal is not already done. And now they're just going to unveil it in spectacular fashion, I'm sure, next week.
Now, Atlanta is the largest market in the country that does not have an MLS franchise. And supposedly there are reasons for that. Is there something about Atlanta that has caused them to hesitate before taking the plunge now?
Well, I mean, I think the criteria is the same for every market that's interested in an MLS team, regardless of their population. And that is, you have to show you have the local investors. You have to have a stadium plan of some sort, whether it's new construction or fitting it into part of an existing plan. And you need to have a bit of soccer history there as well. You know, I don't think Atlanta's size really worked into the equation, but MLS has been very eager to set new franchises south of Washington. There's nothing south of Washington in the league, so that was certainly a big part of it.
MLS, it seems, is at a critical point because it started small, it grew very slowly and carefully, and it is now at a point where it's becoming quite popular. But it's not at a point where it can afford a major misstep. So did MLS have to get some pretty clear assurances from Atlanta that the fan base could be sustained, that the team would be able to afford to be competitive?
Sure. And the big thing is the expansion fee, which has been rising pretty steadily over the years. I mean, I don't know exactly what the Atlanta people will pay. I imagine it's $70 to $100 million just to get into the league. And you have to promise to put up a product that's worthy of the league. And the product has gotten a lot better. Over, you know, 15, 20 years ago when the league started, it was a very simple, bare-bones league with 10, 12 markets, and in the last couple of years, things have improved, and there's a level of expectation, and Atlanta will have to meet that as well. You know, just like any other league, there are strong franchises, there are middling franchises, and there are lower-tier ones that need some help. And where Atlanta fits into that, you know, we'll see.
Atlanta does have, though, a lot of other things going on during the MLS season. Of course, the Braves being the biggest, but it's also a city that looks forward to football, American football, college football in particular, all through the summer. So is there anything that says that they would be able to pull in all of those fans from other sports? Because that's where pretty much they'd have to come from.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things here. One, I don't think they necessarily need to pull in fans from other sports. There is a huge soccer market out there. You know, it varies from city to city. There is a concern with Atlanta, at least I have a concern with Atlanta, in the fact that Atlanta's reputation nationally is not as a great sports town. And the Braves have had some issues even with their best teams and not filling the stands. And the hockey team left. And as you said, football is king. You know, there's a lot of competition from colleges, college sports, professional sports, you know, auto racing, golf, tennis, everything. So, you know, Atlanta is one of those big markets where it's very competitive. It's not like Salt Lake City, where Real Salt Lake draws very well and gains a lot of attention. But really, there's you know, there's the Utah Jazz and there's the University of Utah, and that's it. So they have strategically gone to markets where soccer can fill a void. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is some risk in Atlanta just because there's so much else going on, and it's not a traditional soccer market. You know, there's a bit of risk here, I think, for sure.
You mentioned the international fans here in Atlanta, but a lot of them already have allegiances. There's a large Mexican community here, for instance, but would they shift over to paying to go see an Atlanta franchise instead of just continuing to follow Toluca or Cruz Azul or whoever it is they follow in the place where they came from?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's been MLS's big challenge in places like Los Angeles and in Texas, where there are heavy Mexican populations. If you live somewhere else, do you then spend money on another soccer team? It depends. I mean, some people will, some people won't. But again, MLS's argument is that there's enough people out there that have an interest in soccer that you don't necessarily have to steal them from another team. There's a young male demographic in this country that follows soccer very closely. That's a big part of your audience. Another part of your audience is the Latin market. Obviously, it takes time to build an emotional attachment with your audience. And over the years, that has happened in a lot of markets. You know, the other demographic you're looking at is families and kids and casual fans who want to come out for a good time. And if the product is pretty good and the setting is nice, there's no reason why an expansion team shouldn't, you know, average between 15 and 20,000 fans in their first few years.
But to attract the fans that might be out there, does it make sense to have the team downtown? The Atlanta Braves just announced a move to the suburbs. The Falcons are staying downtown, obviously, with the big new stadium. But many of the soccer fans are on the outskirts of the city. So is there a sense at MLS that it would make a go of it downtown when a lot of the fans are outside?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, Seattle plays downtown. They draw huge crowds. Kansas City plays in the suburbs. You know, they sell out all their games. Los Angeles plays in the suburbs. They draw very well. So, you know, there's a lot of factors. Are people accustomed to going into the city? Is there public transportation? Are there reasons outside the game and the stadium to go? Is there commercial development around the venue? So I think every market's a little bit different, and it depends what a team has to offer.
You just mentioned development around the stadium, and that is a big question for the Falcons with the new stadium because it's in an area where we have the Georgia Dome right now, and the future development has been part of the whole negotiation. But the answer is right now, will that development be there? Probably not at first. Eventually, I imagine that was probably what MLS was looking at.
Yeah, I mean, Houston Stadium opened a few years ago in kind of a forgotten part of downtown and not much around it. And things have been slowly but surely popping up, and people have had more reason to arrive early and stay late. You know, you want to be in a place where it's equidistant for everyone to get there. Dallas had a big challenge putting a stadium in the far northern suburbs of Dallas. You're almost disregarding your people, your fan base, in other parts of the area. So it's hard to say. Washington plays at RFK Stadium, which is right in the city. They're vying for a new place, a new stadium, and they want to be in Washington. They want to be in downtown. And in Washington's case, I think if they move to the suburbs, it would do more damage than anything. So, you know, every city has a different situation.
When it comes to attracting fans at first, is MLS looking at Atlanta as having to do something like the LA Galaxy did, which is bring in some big names like Donovan and Beckham, rather than have more of a homegrown community feel like Seattle or Salt Lake? Or does Atlanta have to haul in a big international star for those first few seasons?
That's a good question. As a first-year team, you want to make a splash, and you do that with either signing, you know, a U.S. star with World Cup credentials maybe a foreign player with World Cup credentials, or you go and hit the demographics, perhaps try to get a high-quality, well-known Mexican player, for instance. I mean, at the end of the day, I think a winning team, a winning product will bring people in.
Do we know whether MLS has had to get guarantees from the ownership group or Arthur Blank in particular that, A, they'd be prepared to lose money for quite a while at first, and number two, would there be tie-ins that MLS would look for, like involvement with youth soccer, for instance, or perhaps eventually bringing a women's team back, those kinds of things that would tie in and perhaps be a way of bringing a broader fan base in?
You know, there are two MLS teams that operate professional women's teams in the NWSL, Portland and Houston. Do you have to promise that to get into MLS? No, not at all. I'd be shocked if that were an issue. Community relations, outreach, youth development, yeah, sure, that's all part of your strategy. MLS teams have, in the last few years, been signing homegrown players, and homegrown meaning they develop them in their own youth academies, and if they're good enough, they sign them to professional contracts. That's the way it works all around the world, and MLS is starting to catch up. So Atlanta would have to do the same thing. They'd have to start a youth academy, you know, mentor young players with the ultimate goal of signing them to contracts or just making a deeper and broader development system for American soccer. That is definitely part of the league's mission.
And as far as the losing money is concerned, do they expect that Arthur Blank and the team would be have enough deep pockets to lose money for a while before any timetable for taking hold would kick in?
Sure. A lot of teams in this league have never made any money. And, you know, this has been a slow growth, patient league. Would they like to see, you know, Atlanta be able to mimic Seattle's success? Sure, but the investors are putting money into the league. So as long as they're, you know, as long as they maintain that investment in the league in turn will let them do what they want, how they want to do it. I think they're fully confident that Atlanta will work, that they trust Arthur Blank, that they think the stadium situation will work, that they think the market in Atlanta is strong enough to support soccer and also reach the casual customer out there. You know, that's a big part of it as well. It's not just the soccer people you want, but it's people who, you know, will take pride in their community, take pride in their city. And even if they're not, you know, hardline soccer fans, they'll just come out for, you know, an enjoyable day or night at the match. And hopefully there'll be a financial windfall down the road.
Stephen Goff is a sports writer for The Washington Post, where he blogs about the world of soccer. Steve, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.